The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe plug-in hybrid is built for the best of both worlds. For the city buzz, for the call of the wild, for finding solitude, for sharing memories, for day trips, and for far-roaming adventures. Because with gas and electric capability, the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe inspires you to explore more, to explore it all. Tap the banner to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Woman Corner podcast. My name is Joseph Chapman and I'm joined this week by Health and Wellbeing Officer of Proud Baggies, Jordan Muckley. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good, thanks, Joe. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. So you're here today. You're very, very helpfully come in and visited us in the Birmingham City Centre office to chat about Proud Baggies campaign, things that are coming up in the past, how it all began.
Absolutely.
We'll start with the past then. So, give us a bit of an insight into the birth of Proud Baggies.
So Proud Baggies was born last summer as the first Midlands team to have a official LGBT supporters club. Who worked very closely with the club on lots of different things, from education and wellbeing through to promotion of LGBT inclusion in sport, all the way through to Proud Baggies was the first LGBT supporters club in the Midlands, so we work very closely with the club and a range of LGBT plus supporters issues, from things such as how to tackle hate crime in football all the way through to promoting inclusion, tackling health and wellbeing issues and just promoting equality and diversity in football, really. We've got a fantastic relationship with the club and we've started to work on a number of initiatives with them directly, which some of which we can happily talk about, other things which are in the pipeline and really exciting, but obviously don't want to give too much away because we want to keep people intrigued, but there's some exciting stuff coming up in the future.
So how big's the it's all voluntary, isn't it?
All voluntary.
So how big's the kind of the group, the task force?
We've got a committee of six people that work very, very hard, each in their individual roles, headed up by Piero, who's our chair, and supported by five other committee members and a couple of patrons as well. And then we have over 150 members, so that is from all members of the Albion family through LGBT plus people, as well as straight people and people that obviously don't define as any of the above. We welcome everybody. We're a supporters club that, if you're an ally, if you're a friend, if you want to help make a difference, if you just want to, help us out in any way, shape or form, we're happy to hear from anybody. The six people on the committee, including myself, we all have our own areas that we look at, ranging from campaigns through to health and wellbeing, through to working directly with the club, working with the Albion Foundation, mental health. So we tackle a lot of different stuff. We have our own agenda. We work with the club on their equality and diversity agenda as well. And we're actually included in a lot of the club's initiatives. So we helped co-founded the Albion Fanned Family, which is launching in November. One of our members sits on the Equality and Diversity Committee within the club. So we have lots of different reaches in the club, which, we've worked really hard to kind of earn. And, the relationship we have is we work very closely with the communications team, the marketing team, as well as our support liaison officers, who are James and Megan. So James works on a match day doing lots of video content, and Megan is one of the marketing team, but they help us to kind of find out what our objectives should be, how we can work with the club on certain topics and really promote LGBT inclusion in sport, because there's no out gay footballer. There's only figures out in other sports like Tom Daley, Gareth Thomas. There are out gay footballers, none in England, none in the Premier League, none in the Football League, which is a shame. You'd like to think that,
in this day and age, we're going to talk about it, your relationship with other campaigns at other clubs around the country. And I've already said about the number 43 of the 92, isn't it? You said that have got a group of people very, very similar, or the same or the equivalent to Pride Baggies at their respective clubs around England. And you would have thought by now that if there was a footballer who was going to come out as gay, then they'd be surrounded by people that would support
them. You'd think that, but I think, you know...
Can you understand the
I can understand the hesitation from a professional footballer, because obviously it's not just them turning up twice a week to play a match. It's their livelihood. It's their it's their career. And I think there's a lot of fear within professional football, in the sense that obviously what happened to Justin Fashanu and the reaction to him coming out. But since that, we've had people like Robbie Rogers who's come out. We've had people like Thomas Hitzlsperger who've came out, and Anton Heysen, who's Glyn, who used to play for Liverpool, Glyn Heysen's son. They've had a fantastic reception. Yes, you'll always have idiots. You'll always have trolls online, saying horrible things, throwing stones. You know, that will always happen. But I think it's the role of clubs and groups like us to kind of really help create a better understanding and almost create like a framework of what happens if a player is to come out. What, you know, how could the club manoeuvre certain things to help the player? How can you help the squad kind of make the player feel exactly the same as he did before?
Included, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Promote the inclusion of all these things. And you know, it's not our responsibility as the LGBT fan groups. It's our job to kind of help influence and guide and support clubs, because obviously they don't necessarily have the knowledge that we have in that sort of in the LGBT plus community. And I think that's where we come into it. And as I said, yeah, there are over 40 other supporters clubs in the UK that are affiliated to their own clubs. Some have amazing relationships, some aren't necessarily official. But the idea is we'll try and... We work with a lot of other clubs to kind of help promote them. You know, we're all part of the football family at the end of the day. And, you know, we've experienced a lot of positivity since we launched. We've also experienced some negativity online.
I suppose you're prepared for that, I'm guessing.
Like,
you know, when you're starting that, you're expecting there's going to be a minority that probably more vocal than we'd all like.
I mean,
but
you can't please everybody. And, you know, we have to remember that, yes, we are in 2018 and you'd like to think the world's a better place now, but there are still idiots out there that will jump on the bandwagon to kind of, you know, almost keyboard warriors. Mm. And yeah, that's what you have to remember. That's all they are. They wouldn't come up to you and say it to your face. They wouldn't come up and unfurl a banner at a club or in a stadium, because you know what would happen. There'd be frog marched straight out and banned. And that's what we've got at West Brom, is that their club are taking any reports of homophobia, biphobia, transphobia extremely seriously, and to the same level as racism, to any form of discrimination. And that's the important thing. You know, West Brom's a club that is... always had diversity as its heart. You know, we were the leading club by having the first team to have black players in our team with the 3 degrees. And, you know, you only had to look as far back as early this year when we lost Cyril Regis, and that, you know, the what the club did to remember him, and all the themes of diversity and equality and inclusion. And
a music playlist there was that day.
Oh, that the music was phenomenal that day. You know, and you had people from all walks of life, all races, all creeds, all sexualities, all genders, all beliefs, coming together and coming under one. And that was the first time I really felt that we were starting to make a difference. All right, less said about last season, the better. Well, yeah, we lost 4-1 at home to Leicester, didn't we? Was it?
Yeah, Southampton.
Southampton,
yeah.
Oh, 3-2.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Same outcome, yeah.
Yeah, under Pardiola. But, you know, we're seeing a change now. We're seeing a change in behaviour, changing attitudes, and we're getting some people that you perhaps view on Twitter or view on Facebook, you thought, nah, they're not gonna engage with us, they're not gonna support us or, you know, comment, but actually they're retweeting our content, they're promoting, you know, the things that we do. And it's not necessarily about it's not promoting an LGBT plus agenda. Yeah. It's about promoting equality and inclusion in football, and that's all we want to do. You know, we're there for everybody.
Yeah.
And we open our doors for everybody. I think that's the important thing to remember. It's not just exclusive to LGBT plus people. We are a supporters club for anybody that wants to support what we do.
You've already talked passionately about the relationship you've enjoyed with the club themselves. They seem to have very extended an arm, you know, especially in the last couple of years. I suppose that was probably signified best by the flag that's now flying proudly in the East Stand. How significant a step forward was that, having that, you know, on display, as we've already said today, about the fact that Sky Sports cameras are there and you can catch glimpses of the Albion badge and the Proud Baggies flag.
I think for me that was kind of the proudest moment thus far, in the fact that the club have recognised who we are, proudly displayed that, you know, alongside other supporters groups' flags, alongside, you know, the Atna Albion flag, for example. And that's proud, takes pride in place in the East Stand. And obviously, you know, you watch Albion on TV whenever we're at home, and you know, you can see that flag displayed on when you see a shot of the pitch, and it just reminds me that there are some good people out there. And I think, you know, it's credit to the hard work of people in the Proud Baggies committee and their relationship with the club, and the people that, you know, that help us do what we do on a daily basis. You know, Piero, who's our chair, Neil, who's our secretary, Sarah, David and Richie and myself on the committee, and then Megan and James and Rob Lake from the foundation as well, Martin, who heads up the comms team there. You know, these are all people that have kind of empowered us to really, you know, do what we do and given us the platform. And you know, the flag was a culmination of the hard work we've put in over the last year, or the last 18 months, and for it to kind of take pride in place. And the club are also very proud that we were the first one to have ours up, so, you know, closely followed by all the other fellow supporters clubs that want the flags up. But ours took pride in place first, and I think that was a really crowning moment. I remember seeing the first LGBT flag I saw at a stadium was from Tottenham at White Hart Lane, the Proud Lily Whites flag up in that far right hand corner. And I just saw it and thought, let's put one up at the Albion. And, you know, Piero started the group off. I've known Piero for a number of years, and I came on board with him and Sarah to start it all off. And then obviously we've just grown and grown and grown. And one of the first things we said was flag in the stadium. And, you know, we were talking to the club for about a year, kind of trying to pick the right place. And I think there was a little hesitance at first to kind of, obviously, with the, we have to remember, we launched in probably one of the worst seasons the club's ever had. So it probably wasn't the best time to go and start doing a lot of things. Now, obviously, we're at the Championship. The football's a lot better. There's more of a feel-good factor around the club again, all around this Albion family, which we're all a part of. I think that's helped. And obviously, we're not necessarily as restricted as we are in the Premier League. So I think, you know, the changes that have happened internally at the club have helped us to really kind of, we were going along at a nice pace, and now we're kind of excelling. And that's a really important thing, is that for people that are out there that are LGBT plus or identify as that, that do like football, that aren't necessarily comfortable going to a stadium or necessarily, you know, telling people that they like football because they might be judged upon that, this is what we exist for. We exist for these people. Come and have a chat with us. You don't have to tell us your name. You don't have to tell us who you identify as. We're there to kind of support people too and be an ear. And, you know, we do a lot of work. We're about to launch the 1968 Club, which is going to help people who are over 50 in the LGBT plus community around social isolation and loneliness.
Right.
Working in tandem with Birmingham LGBT Centre, which is a big charity here in Birmingham. And it, you know, it's not necessarily aimed at sport, but it's about being part of a collective and part of a community.
Yeah.
I think that's what people seem to forget sometimes, is that we're all part of a community, whether we like it or not. Whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, part of the LGBT plus community, if you're an Albion fan, you're part of the Albion family.
Yeah.
So you all come as a collective, and I think people seem to forget that sometimes. And I think what we try to do is get back to what those core values of what West Brom are about. And West Brom is a club for everybody, regardless of who you are, where you're from. You know, like last year, we had Gregor Krychowiak. You notice a large number of Polish people come into the stadium, and they've stayed at the club. Now there's a Polish Baggies fan
Twitter
group set
account.
Up, which, you know, they're hoping to get a flag at the ground, I'm led to believe, soon, which would be a wonderful thing. And that's great, because it taps into a community within West Bromwich, and you get more local people to come to the ground again, which is what you want. And I just think, you know, football needs to open its eyes a lot wider, because there's a lot of narrow-mindedness still exists in football, and whether it's from fans, whether it's from powers that be, you know,
it's strange, isn't it? Because you look at cricket, first-class cricket, international rugby, there are examples of individuals that have come out in the middle of their sporting careers and, you know, they've already given insights. Gareth Thomas, is it Alex Davis as well, I think, in cricket, who have
Stephen Davis,
who have given insights into the dressing room and how it's just like it was, you know, the day before that they did announce that they were gay.
I think the difference between football and those sports is there's a lot more respect in rugby, a lot more respect in cricket, you know, a lot more respect in perhaps individual sports. I think football lacks that. I mean, you've only got to see how football's crowd around a referee. In rugby, they call the referee sir or mister or whatever. In football, they're all shouting effing and jeffing at him. And I think that's the big difference.
Is bigger picture, you think, with football
as well? I think you have to see the bigger picture in the sense that football is a traditional working class sport. And I think some of those kind of values kind of lend itself, you know, the kind of values in the sense that, you know, people aren't necessarily as aware of social issues, as aware of the need for groups like us, or, you know, they don't take their blinkers off sometimes. And I think that can affect their view on football when it shouldn't. And whereas, you know, what my day job is, I work in a university and I work closely with our sports teams and our clubs and societies. And one of the things I do notice is that there are our LGBT plus people in those teams, and they are treated with the utmost respect, the utmost, you know,
with
integrity and with decency. And, you know, they're there because they're good at what they do and they're good at the sports they play, not there to tick a box. They're not there because they're there because they're welcomed. And I think that's the important thing, and I don't think that you get that in football. So what we're trying to do is create that welcoming feeling as much as we can. We can't win it all on our own. We do need other people's help.
Yeah.
We do need to lean on other people. But that's why, you know, you work with your clubs, you work with other fan groups, you work with other football clubs, you work with organisations like Pride in Football that help you kind of fulfil that welcoming feeling that you want to promote. And I think we'll start to see more and more as the generations come through, especially my generation, the generation that's come after me, I think we're starting to see more acceptance and more understanding of these social issues.
Have you experienced that in the feedback you've had?
A lot of the feedback we've had has been extremely positive. You know, a lot of people that we've seen comment online, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, commenting, this is a brilliant thing, you know, well done West Brom, you're pioneers of diversity, well done for being the first Midlands club to do so.
I was going to say, is that fans from clubs
as well as Albion fans, you're getting Villa fans, Wolves fans, Blues fans all commenting and saying, this is brilliant, why aren't our club doing this? And, you know, I know there's a similar group being set up at Birmingham City at the moment. I know the Villa are trying to get one, and Wolves, I think they're trying to get one off the ground as well. And obviously, if they want to reach out to us and, you know, help, obviously we're going to share our knowledge with them. We're not going to go, sorry, we don't talk to our rivals. Of course we do.
Take a leaf out of our book.
I think we've helped Mansfield Town set up or helped to set up their own group and look at ways that we can link up together. Obviously use our expertise that we've developed. We were quite fortunate that we had West Brom, as you know, got a few celebrity fans. And one of those fans who also identifies as a member of the LGBT plus community is Joe Lycett. Obviously hilarious comedian. We were fortunate, we sent him a t-shirt when we launched, and he put it out on his Instagram profile, and you know, he wrote a lovely, lovely comment. And looking at some of the comments underneath that, they were absolutely brilliant. Some numpties as well, you get, you know, but there's lots of people on there that are there for you that you don't necessarily know. It's just how you kind of use that as a force for good, and to how to kind of bring about positive change. And I think what we are doing is positive, and, you know, we are bringing about a sense of, you know, there's a wind of change, which is good, and we want to keep that going, keep the momentum, and I think the momentum is only going in one direction now. But what we do need to kind of be aware of is that not everybody is ready, and it's our job, and I kind of see it as kind of part of my duties in my role within Proud Baggies, is to kind of help people understand the need for groups like us. And it's not necessarily, you know, people have trolled us for like, oh, free tickets and you're there to to do this, to do that. It's not a case at all. We buy our own tickets. You know, the club help us out when we need to, you know, do certain things, of course. That's due to the relationship we have with them. That's because we, you know, they'll do the same for any other supporters group.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to remember that at the core of what we do is all good natured, and it's all from a place of wanting to help people and wanting to be there. And, you know, we do all this out of our love of the game. At the end of the day, we do it because we love football. I get paid to do it. It's all volunteering, and, you know, we've committed hours and hours and hours to do this, and so have a lot of other people around the country for their own clubs. And, you know, I think we have to remember that this is all for the good of football. At the end of the day, we're here to just make sure people are there to feel comfortable within who they are, to enjoy the game, and that's what we need to remember.
We've already talked previously about the event that's taking place against Brentford at home in December. It's the Rainbow Laces campaign, continuation of, how many years has it been now?
It's been going for about 3-4 years now.
And that entails, what have you got planned as Proud Baggies? What have you got planned
so
for that?
Rainbow Laces is Stonewall's inclusion, sport inclusion campaign that they run every year, which obviously is, as it says on the tin, they give out a lot of Rainbow Laces. You're encouraged to wear them in your trainers and your shoes. A lot of professional players have worn them. Last year we saw Gary Megson when he was a caretaker when we played Tottenham. That was out
in November, yeah.
Rainbow Laces game last year. We linked up with Proud Lilywhites last year, and we, you know, did a lot of stuff in the build up to that game. Gary Megson wore the Rainbow Laces badge on his jacket. A lot of the clubs had rainbow armbands for captains' armbands, which was good.
I noticed actually watching Ireland recently, they changed the colours of their
that was brilliant.
Their squad numbers.
Yeah, that was phenomenal for their game against the USA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the USA did the same as well.
Which is rather big country to you know, expose, you know, that,
I mean,
that too.
Less said about the USA at the moment, the better. Well, yeah. But, you know, Brentford is our game, our Rainbow Laces game this year. Fortunately, we were at home, so we were able to kind of do a lot more than we were last year. So we're working with the club on a number of things at the moment. And if you check us out on our social media at WBALGBT or go on our website proudbaggies.com, you'll see in the next few weeks a lot of things that we're beginning to launch. So our 1968 club launch is part of our Rainbow Laces campaign, which I mentioned earlier about tackling social isolation and loneliness with the over 50s in the LGBT community. We're going to be giving we're going to be doing some ticket giveaways, we're hoping that some of the players will wear our Proud Baggies t-shirts prior to the game. Hopefully we're going to get some of those signed off and given away in some competitions as well. This may or may not be some videos coming out with the club soon. You know, watch this space. Obviously there's more I can say, but
yeah,
I'm not allowed
tease
to.
Out, tease out.
There's lots of exciting stuff planned, and the club are really behind us, you know, doing what we think we need to do. And I mean, it just goes to show the support from the club is that we now have in the club shop little
badges.
Rainbow badges with the Proud Baggies logo on, with the pride flag on there too, which you can go and get from the club shop too. You know, we want to try and raise some money as well for local LGBT charities, which is important. We did for at the World Cup, we did raise some money for Russian LGBT charities by auctioning off some Three Lions Pride scarves, which or exclusive merch, but we raised a couple of £100 for that, which was great.
So what, like on match day itself, are you is it your kind of bucket collections, that kind of thing, or
so on,
you mean the fan zone, the fan
yeah
zone
on match day every match day obviously at home games the fan zone normally takes place on Saturdays,
yes,
not necessarily at the during a weeknight fixture, but we're trying to get something sorted with the club so we can have a presence pre-Brentford for people who want to come and get involved in some of the fun stuff we've got planned. But normally on a home game, some of the committee members will be in the fan zone, and we'll send out information on where people can meet us. We can all go for a drink, have a chat, have a bite to eat, and there's lots of social events we do as well. So we have our bi-monthly committee meetings, which, you know, as any organisation would, we do organise social. So if West Brom are playing away on the telly, we'll go, you know, one of the local Desi pubs, and we're going to have a curry and watch the match. You know, we've gone and done, we've had a big Christmas night out last year. If anyone wants to come and join us, we're having our Christmas party on the 21st of December, I believe, at the club.
And then it's actually been held at Hawthorns.
We're holding it at the Hawthorns, one of their parties that they're putting on. Obviously, we're all going to that. And then we'll be joining a few others in the gay village a bit later on for a few drinks if people want to get involved. But we're also looking at starting up things which aren't centred around, you know, football necessarily. So doing quiz nights and doing escape rooms and going to comedy nights and open mic nights and all that sort of thing, you know. So we want to promote like a culture where it's a safe space to come and socialise with fellow LGBT plus people, as well as, you know, going to watch your club. And going back to Rainbow Laces, one of the things that I think will be a good thing for all clubs really is that it's about using your club as a force for good. And fingers crossed, you know, we'll be able to have access with, you know, have a picture done with the players, or, you know, a video message from Darren Moore or something like that. One thing that stuck in my head from last year is a picture with the Proud Lily Whites, a couple of those members, Mauricio Pochettino, Hugo Lloris, and the Tottenham ladies captain and the Tottenham ladies manager. They all had a picture with the big Proud Lily Whites flag at their training ground, and I think it was the first time I've seen a Premier League footballer standing there with a Pride flag happily. And obviously, you know, Hugo Lloris is, you know, I'm told, a very open and accepting individual anyway. And you have to remember, not all footballers are dependent on where they're from and their religion and their background. So there is a lot of sensitivities that you have to deal with. So, you know, and I think if we can get something similar this year, I think that's going to be the crowning moment for me, is getting that kind of the players involved, getting the staff involved. And it's not just the first team, the academy, the ladies team. We want to get everybody involved as much as we can. And, you know, go onto Stonewall's website, get you a pair of Rainbow Laces, buy some of the merchandise that they've got available, go into our club shop, get a little Proud Baggies badge. 3rd of December, Brentford home game, it's on Sky, 8 o'clock I think kickoff. We'll be there. That's our Rainbow Laces campaign. Get behind us, show your support, even if it's on social media. You know, tweet your support, retweet our things, share our content. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up, some blogs, some videos, some pictures, some competitions that everyone can get involved in. So fingers crossed, I think it's going to be a lot bigger and better than last year. Like, that was our first year, so we did a lot of stuff, we're still trying to find our feet, you know, what to do, what not to do. But this year, I think it's our first big, meaningful, you know, here we are, putting our flag in the ground. You know, here we are, come and get involved.
Wow. Best of luck with what you've got coming up, and congratulations on your endeavours so far in the last year or two. On the pitch, big question on the line, George. Do Albion get promoted this season from where we are now?
From where we are now? No.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time.
No worries, John.
And all the very best, I've already said, in the next couple of weeks and months. And we'll be back with another edition of Woman Corner podcast next week.